I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's do it. Couldn't wait to do this show because I knew it was going to happen one day. Come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Wow. Monday after the Masters, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Pure joy, check. Mm-hmm. Awe, check. Sentimentality, check. Disdain?
No.
That was some had that emotion.
Really?
But, oh, you know how there's some people that are so sad.
I mean, come on.
They can't even accept the fact that somebody willed himself back from the brink of death.
Yeah.
He brought it all upon himself.
The only thing that was corny was the Nike commercial, like, immediately.
Hey, you still got to make money.
Oh, I know.
You got to make money.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It was like, as soon as it was over, Nike commercial. That was the only thing that I had a problem with. Otherwise, I mean... Golf clap, loud golf clap
golf
for Tiger
clap,
Woods,
more like
man.
A raucous fraternity clap after a couple of keg stands. You kidding me?
This was awesome.
It's outrageous.
You can't explain it any other way, and especially because experience and his knowledge on how to play this particular course, this particular event. It's obviously was the scene of his first major back in 1997. You couldn't have drawn this up any better for Tiger Woods.
I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do today. And, you know, I'm not that I've necessarily heard people do this, but I'm not here to convert you. I'm not here to convert anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get on the radio and beg and get worked up in a lather and try to convince you that what you saw yesterday was something that, number one, you've never seen before, which, by the way, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you'll never see again, which, by the way, you won't.
No.
I'm not here to convert you. What I will say, you know, all the years I've done this for a living, all the years I grew up as a true art and sports fan, take, you know, to sit there and watch this and the whole family, you know, Kinsley's still a little bit too. She was actually kind of getting a little annoying. His daddy's trying to watch the last couple of holes. Kinsley, you know, acting like a two-year-old's going to act, but... The emotions, I don't understand how some people can look at this, right, as an incredible sporting achievement and try to, like, marginalize it or diminish it by, and I understand literally, yes, he brought this stuff upon himself, not all of it, not his fault that the vertebrae are crooked and cranked and all out of whack and that he started popping pills to merely get through a day to survive. So I guess I grant a little more leniency, maybe because I've had back surgery.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've talked about this on the show. Thankfully, never got hooked on pills. But I can see when you open your eyes every day, forget about hitting a stinger off the tee or blasting one out of a bunker or hitting a 57-foot left-to-right putt that's like on ice and concrete combined. Forget about that stuff. If you don't enjoy the human element of this, you are, I believe, predisposed to be mean.
Well, here's the thing, BT. You don't even need to enjoy the human element to this.
You have to make it full.
I understand. Context makes it even more spectacular. But think of all of the people, golfers, professional golfers, because there's hundreds and thousands of them that never have gotten a chance to even tee off at a major. Right. And think of all of the guys that are really good golfers that are in the top 20 or so in the world and have been over the last few years that have never won a major. And here you go at 43 years old. Forget everything else. Everything else in his past, forget it. Right. Just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
At 43 years old, coming off a back surgery where you've seen the videos, we can't even stand up. And he said, like, I didn't think I was going to play ever again. To win a major and win the Masters, that in and of itself is spectacular, and it's a story. Now, if you care about all the other things, a lot of people don't. Like the personal stuff and the painkillers, the addiction, that's fallibilities of human beings. A lot of people don't care about those things, and they'll actually fault him for going through them because it was things of his own doing.
I just think the marriage was his own doing. It's not his fault that his body betrayed him.
Unless he took steroids.
Unless he took steroids. And some people have said that. Yeah. And it's possible.
But you've also heard, like, he pushed the boundaries of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, where was I listening to this? Maybe it was Curtis Strange after. I can't remember who it was. One of the post analysts was talking about how he just intentionally, maybe it was Nota Begay actually. No, it was Nota on our show on Friday. He said,
where did I hear that? On our show?
But I went to Paris and ran a marathon and came back, and Notre Dame's on fire, by the way. Blessings to all the people over there, and the firefighters are working on it.
I didn't see that.
The Cathedral of Notre Dame is on fire right now.
The
spire already fell down.
So
thoughts and prayers out to the Parisians and obviously the great work of art that is the Cathedral of Notre Dame. It's burning down right now. But anyways, my point is, Nota talked about, like, Tiger experiment. I want to see how big I can get without affecting my game.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you transform your body like that, you put stress on.
Yep.
You end up tearing your Achilles. You end up hurting your knee because you're swinging so hard, right? It's like you're Hercules up there now. And his swing was so powerful.
Yep.
And now if you watch it,
still pretty powerful.
And I know you watch this too, by the way, because I noticed this as soon as I saw him swinging some of those par threes.
Uh-huh.
His swing is much more shallow now. It doesn't come through back up. It comes through flat.
Yeah, I noticed that a little bit. I'm definitely not Brandon Chambly with the angles.
But
it's discernible to the hack guy.
If you've seen him play a lot, it's less powerful, but more beautiful, actually. You know what I mean? It's more fluid.
It's less violent, and it's more fluid.
Exactly. And so he's had to evolve who he is. And to win after evolving is... I mean, it's unprecedented. It's hard to do.
If I use the word unprecedented, and it's debatable because it's an emotional thing, and certainly wouldn't say that somebody is wrong. You know, obviously you're going to get the quick comparisons, what Jack did in 86, right? Now, a couple things, and we've talked about that on the show. We've referenced that you weren't watching it in real time.
No.
I wasn't a golf fan. I was 12. You were 10, going on 11, whatever it was. I don't think my dad was watching it. I just have no recollection of that. It was the 50th Masters, though.
Yeah.
And what is interesting about what Jack did, Jack won the Open Championship in 78. He won the U.S. Open in 1980. He won the PGA Championship in 1980. And then from 1980 until that day in 86, he won nothing.
Mm.
Nor did he not majors, not even events.
Yeah.
Nor did he ever win another sanctioned event outside of the Senior Tour in his entire career. And I think the difference, and you can tell me how, you know, eagle on 15, bird on 16, bird on 17, par on 18, bird on 9, 10, 11, Tom Kite, great leaderboard, Greg Norman, Seve was there. You know, historically, I get it, final round 65. But the difference, and this is just my opinion, the difference, though, was that Jack was just an old man who was able to somehow stifle the sporting gods who inevitably always win.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an incredible physical accomplishment, no doubt. Nobody saw it coming, and he never did it. He never was able to replicate that. Tiger, and I don't get how people don't see this, was reduced to ashes. He was reduced to rubble.
Mm-hmm.
His wife tried to take his face off with a pitching wedge, and rightfully so.
Yeah, probably justified.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah. He had, you want to call it a sex addiction, you want to call it a belief because you're Tiger Woods, you can do whatever you want. Where's the fine line medically? I don't know. You want to call him cheap and petulant on the golf course and not really friendly to all of his legions of fans, his icy demeanor that rub people the wrong way? Get it. Check, check, check. He's guilty. No doubt about it. But I don't know how you can't respect somebody who got pulled over by the police and believed that he was in a totally different state on the entire opposite coast of the country that we reside in. He thought he was in California. He was in Florida. And if you can't look at that and say, man, he's got a metal ladder at the lumbar portion of his back, right above where our belt is, that does not allow his body to twist. So if Brooks Koepka goes like that, Tiger goes like that, and he won, and he won. And by the way, if you've been paying attention, you shouldn't be surprised. Tied for second at Valspar, tied for fifth at Arnie's, tied for fourth at Quicken Loans, tied for sixth at the Open Championship, PGA Championship, the BMW fourth. He won the Tour Championship. How do you not see this coming?
Yeah,
I mean,
you should have
if
seen
you don't
it
know golf, that's cool. That's fine. But if you know golf and you didn't see Tiger coming, there's the golf element, there's the human element, and when they intersect, it created the most amazing sporting viewing pleasure of my life.
Yeah, I agree with you, BT. And here's the other thing. If you know Tiger's history, you've also known that it's these type of challenges that he's always thrived in.
Yes.
Whether it was creating them for himself or being needing motivation. The early part of Tiger's career, it was a lot about how can I be better than anyone who's ever done this before.
Uh-huh.
It's think of Jerry Rice, if you want to take an analogy outside of golf, if you don't know golf. Jerry Rice came into the NFL. He wasn't highly touted, but he quickly determined he was of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that platform, that plateau of being in the elite, he said, I'm going to be the greatest that ever was. And everything he did, whether it was his training methods, whether it was his nutrition, whether it was yoga, whatever it is he was doing,
mm-hmm.
he made himself the greatest wide receiver of all time. And that was his challenge. Tiger had the same drive. And when he lost the challenges, when he became the pinnacle,
mm-hmm.
remember, when he was 15 years ago, we were saying he's the best golfer that's ever been alive. Right?
Yeah, which was premature because
it's
a sport based on longevity.
Of course.
But
and he's got to catch Arnold. You got to catch all these other things. But we had already put him on this pedal. I think he got bored. I really do.
He might have.
And
that's why he always tinkered with the swing.
Exactly. He
four
lost
swings.
His drive. That's why he put on weight. That's why he did all of these different things. And he was looking for that edge. Unfortunately, life is crazy like that. Not crazy. That's the wrong word. Life is it acquiesces like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want a challenge?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to break you down in ways that you can't even expect were coming.
You think that's a curse that some
I think
you get dealt great cards
karma.
By God
I think
physically.
It's karma. I think it's karma. Yeah, whatever.
Karma.
Whatever it is, it's you think you have it all until you don't,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
and then
I'll buy
and then,
that.
And, then
I'll buy that.
And then what are you doing? What are you going to do next?
Yeah.
How are you going to fix your personal life,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's obviously first and foremost, your faith and whatever it may be, your family.
Yep.
And then get back to work on your golf swing. And it was a slow grind. It was very, very slow. But that was his motivation. I'm positive that's why he got to this point and why it's probably not over yet. Because for 8 years, maybe longer, maybe 11,
yep.
that's when you go back to the last time he won. That pursuit of 18 was fading,
mm-hmm.
and then probably gone for a minute. Now it's back,
mm-hmm.
with 15
mm-hmm.
and his belt
mm.
and playing the way that he played.
Mm-hmm.
Not powerful, not outpowering everybody.
Which, by the way, he's still.
But it wasn't outpowering everybody. It was outsmarting
uh-huh.
everybody. How
yep.
to play 12, how to play 16.
Correct.
Right. You know, take my bogey when I have to.
Yep.
I don't need to wrap this thing around a tree and get close. I just need to get back in the fairway and I'll take a bogey.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he now knows how to get to 18, and that's his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's pushing him now. It will be fun to watch these next few.
He's not done. He's not, by the way, the next event, which is the PGA, mm-hmm. the calendars change, as Teek and I have told you a few times here on the show. So you have the PGA Championship jumped up to May. Where is it? Bethpage. He knows it like the back of his hand.
You're right.
Where's the U.S. Open? Pebble Beach. It's where he played when he was at Stanford. So, and the Open Championship, based on his ability to just hit the two irons and the stingers off the tee, keep it in the fairway, and use his creativity around the greens, you know, that just, he almost won it last year, if not for Molinari. And, you know, when Molinari, and I've heard this a lot, and I got to be honest, I still wasn't fully convinced, which is ironic, because I have been leading the charge of people who believe that Tiger Woods still would find a way to get back to the winner's circle. I've been telling you this for over a year and a half. However, I've heard a lot of people today say, hey, when Molinari, you know, rinsed it on 12, and, you know, that's when he knew, I wasn't sure.
No.
I still needed to see the putter. I tweeted this out. I guess it was Friday. There was early in the round where he had a real and these are the kind of shots that get lost over the course of 4 days that, and I get it, you're going to focus on the final round, mm-hmm. and, you know, you stick 1 to 2 feet on 16, you almost get an ace. I mean, I understand it. But there are so many, you know, the calculations and the inner battles, you know, mentally and the knowledge of the course that you've got to all roll into one brilliant package of golf. Not flawless golf, but of straightforward golf. You know, you're going to get knocked sideways a little bit, pick yourself up, go. That's Augusta. Go forward. Don't get the double. Get a bogey. Move on. That's fine. And, Tink, I mean, I'm sitting there. I got tears in my eyes. And I'm actually happy. Forget it. I was going to, I'm not ashamed. No, why would I say? I'm not. It's not that I'm not ashamed. I'm happy to tell our audience that as a grown man with kids, I sat there and I'm watching Tiger Woods hunker and his little guy. How old is his son?
Probably nine.
Is he that much older?
Yeah.
He's 5 years older than Colt. Yeah, he looks kind of older.
Yeah.
But to just think, like, I know it's not even close, but like, if I stopped doing radio, I lost my vocal cords, God forbid, and my children never remembered me doing a show, radio or TV, and I finally got back on there. Do you know what it would mean for me to walk out of the studio and have my wife, even though his wife wasn't, but his girlfriend, but Jen, and my kids, and my mom, and my dad, I know his dad's not there now, that's part of the story, to hug them and say, this is what daddy used to do?
Yeah.
How do you not get behind that and love that?
I agree.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was just absolutely freaking awesome. Period. Don't try to spoil my day.
Hey, I'm not.
I know you're not.
I'm not.
But there's going to be some clowns out there who want to call in and say he's a bad guy. Come on. Come on. Just be ready to rumble because I'm going to knock you down today. This is all pro Tiger. 855-212-4227. Are you kidding me? He won the Masters. Let's think about that. He won Augusta. And which show's been telling me he's going to win again? This show, right here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15%. Or more on car insurance. Obviously, Tiki and I will do a lot of hoops coming up 4 o'clock hour. So in about 30 minutes, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. The games were either great or they were horrendous.
Kyle Lowry.
I told you, I don't like the Raptors. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm surprised they lost the first game.
Look, they're going to win. They're going to win that series. Eh? But
are the Nuggets going to win? Spurs won the first. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's a lot of things that are going. The Nets with a big win there. So that I thought, and we both thought that would be a deep series anyway. Yep. I think I said the Sixers in 6 or 7. Let's see. And how about Embiid on the phone on the bench?
Yeah, yeah.
What a clown show.
Here's the thing. Embiid is banged up. He's hurt.
Yep.
That was one. And Ben Simmons, when they play slow,
yeah,
his inability to shoot is glaring. He's an athlete. He can score in transition and create in transition. If he's got to play in the half court, they're
not good.
They're not going to win if they have to play that way.
Don't disagree. You got inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Obviously, football at the 40s as well. But today's all about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woo. We'll get calls. I think really the two things that jump out to me, and one of them I said is, you know, the comparisons to Jack in 86. I get it. Yeah, no doubt. I understand why people would say that. But I guess looking back and doing some research and, you know, knowing where he was at that place, and it was really just the unexpected renaissance of a seemingly finished champion.
It felt like a crown to put on an unbelievable career.
Correct.
Right? And then that was it. Go to the champ, whatever it was called then. Now it's senior tour, but now I think it's, was it champion
tour? Then it was a senior. I think it's a champion
tour. So go to the senior tour.
And he played in some events, by the way.
Of course. But
he still played, but
of course,
more of the symbolic.
This
is
your last one.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Send you out to, you know, the old hits.
Right?
This doesn't feel like this
it
for
doesn't,
Tiger.
No. Tiger's just, I don't want to say he's just getting started. Tiger's going to absolutely bang a few more wins into the right column. The other thing that jumps out, and I understand why we have to get to this, trust me, I do, but I think it's a real disservice to automatically jump to, can he now catch Jack? Because I think when you do that, you know, we're 27 minutes into the show, and we reference it because you have to, but we certainly haven't expanded on it, which eventually we might, or we will. But to do that so quickly, I just feel like you marginalize the accomplishment.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? I know it's a microwave society, but can we let this one linger for a little bit before we start worrying about Jack?
I hear you, but people want to advance this story. Now, forget Jack for a second. There are three more this year. You think he wins another one?
Yeah.
This year.
I do.
This year. Another major this year.
I do. He's, as I said, played at Bethpage, coming up for the PGA Championship in May. Then he's got Pebble Beach for the U.S. Open. And where is the Open Championship this year? I'm honestly not sure. Not Royal Birkdale. Where? Diesel's going to look that up.
Yeah, that's the one that never jumps off your head.
I know.
It's always
St. Andrews.
Exactly.
Where are we playing this year? Where is it in the rotation? I'm not even sure exactly what part of Europe it's in.
Yeah.
Diesel's going to look that up. He's got it. What do you got, D? Oh, pardon me. Yomas Dicel. What do you have, Yomas?
It's in Northern Ireland. Still looking at the course.
Huh? Gonna say hi to my people. Okay. Nah. Have a pint with my people. Half my people.
The other, half your people.
The other half's in Italy. All right, let's get.
What is it? Royal Portrush.
Royal?
I don't know that one.
I don't know that one. Sounds challenging to me. Let's get James.
I honestly have never heard that.
Neither
have I. I'm sure they played it there before. But
I can't imagine it's the first go-around, the indoctrination. I'm sure they've had. Well, have they had other. Jim.
You should have seen me and BT's look at each other.
Oh. Never heard of it. Have they had other events there? I honestly haven't heard that too often. D-Cell, check it out. Pardon me. Yomas. D-Cell. Jimmy, what's up, buddy? You're in Virginia. How are you today, Jim?
Oh, hey, how's it going? It's actually Massachusetts, but that's an easy one to mix up. Norfolk, Mass, or Virginia. But
That was Yomas.
That was Yomas's fault.
I know. But anyways, let's just talk about this.
Go ahead.
Tiger Woods in his red outfit, Sunday final grouping at the Masters.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people anticipated this?
Me.
if you go back to 2018, right, the PGA Championship, he was in the mix with Koepka. And then you go to the Open Championship in that final pairing with Molinari. And then we fast forward to 2019 in the matches. He's with Molinari again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, man, you look at the front nine. Molinari was so cold through those first 7-8 holes.
You're right.
Pairing those 5-6 foot par putts. You know what I mean?
I was like,
all right, Molinari, he's going to be mistake-free. And Tiger's going to have to make up strokes. Tiger is going to be the one who has to go under. And then, we fast forward to the 12th hole, and we're like, oh my gosh. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we do.
Of course. It's enticing.
Molinari was just going to like come in. Yeah, I thought he was just come in with a 70, 71 and win it. But it opened up the door for Tiger, and he had to play nice down the stretch, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, and again, with Koepka, just like in the PGA, Koepka misses that putt on the 18th where Tiger would have to make a par.
Yep.
And then the door is wide open for Tiger. And, you know, just him seeing him walk up the 18th green with that ovation, and I didn't know if we're ever going to see that again.
Yeah,
you're
right. You got to let it sink in because we can't underestimate how big of a deal this is. I mean,
James, we're not. You know, that's why we're stressing it, and we're really trying to avoid falling into that trap. It's easy to fall into, but I don't think we've done that, and we won't. You know, it's hey, you talk about Mike Tyson, right? Think about other falls from grace and. You know, whether he's biting off Holyfield's ear or just turning into a raving lunatic or not being prepared, being a little thick and not ready for Buster Douglas, whatever. Yeah. He never came back with the roar.
But golf is rare, though, BT, because it's really the only sport where you can. Boxing, you get punched out a little bit.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Like George Foreman notwithstanding. I mean, he took, a decade off or so before he came back. But he was heavy. He just wasn't in it.
Foreman.
It is what it was. George Foreman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was different. I mean, it was one of three belts, so it is what it is. So same thing in baseball. Like, baseball, you're not going to have a renaissance after 3 or 4 years, and you're not going to have that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe,
they're not going to keep you around.
Maybe tennis.
Tennis had a few. Jimmy Connors did pretty well. I think he was in his 40, maybe. You know, I don't want to get too down the road. I'm not overly.
Yeah, football for quarterbacks, you might be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning is one that jumps to mind simply because of the severity of his neck injury, where he had to have the surgery. Joe Montana, but he didn't ultimately win a championship.
Nope.
So it's really rare that you can find this. So the examples you have to champion.
Mm-hmm.
Really. By the way, Royal Portrush hosted the Open Championship in 1951.
Okay,
it's the oldest of the golf's major, which is obviously the oldest championship, and it's the only one not held on the island of Great Britain.
Really?
Yeah.
Who won it in 51? Is that like a Gary Player? Or was that an Arnie? It wouldn't have been Jack in 51.
No, 1951.
Could have been Gary Player.
Let's go back and find
Gary's 83.
Yeah, it could have been
Gary Player for sure. I mean, Jack started winning in the early 60s.
True.
Could have been Gary Player.
Could have been.
Was it Sam Snead? I don't know. I'm just throwing out names now. I don't know. Act, do you know? Wow. I wish that response was on TV.
Last hosted, 1951.
1951. Why the wait? I wonder if the course.
Max Faulkner.
Max
Matt, never heard of him. Max Faulkner won his only major title in the reign, two strokes ahead of the runner-up Antonio Cerda.
Never heard of him either. Relatively nondescript debut there. Royal what? Port Rush. Port Rush.
Royal Port Rush.
Okay.
1951.
Yomas DeSalle with the info there. You're not a huge golf fan, DeSalle. You and I talked about this when Teak was out. Did you get into it?
I was actually with a large group of people who weren't all golf fans.
Yep.
All huddled around, didn't take our eyes off the TV, and a few tears shed by non-traditional golf fans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was into it yesterday.
Well, the human interest.
There you go.
The human interest side of it is what catches you.
Jim Nance was tearing up in Butler Cabin.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know it's part of can the low amateur, dude, come on. Of all the times we don't need to see, get out of here, will you? Go back to Oklahoma State. We want to hear from Tiger. And, you know, Patrick Reed, put the jacket on and bounce. Let's let Jim Nance and Tiger hook up. Like, oh, please, everybody else leave.
It's history, though, man.
Yeah,
if it's history, you want to be a part of it.
Low amateur, next.
You want to be able to say, I was there when.
I was laughing, too. I'm forgetting the gentleman's name. The chairman of Augusta. Who played there as an amateur a few times himself, where he said, you know, Patrick, you've been such a great champion. I'm thinking, did he not realize that basically the entire Ryder Cup team hated Patrick Reed?
Yeah.
Did he forget that episode in Patrick Reed's career? But I couldn't help but laugh, and I'm like, this poor kid, you know, like, you know, what an amazing moment for him. But it was just, it was incredible. I don't know what's next that's even going to come close to this. And again,
Fred Ridley.
Ridley, there you go. I strip down, you know, like the Yankees win the championship in 96, of course. I mean, I take away my team moments. Anything that I don't have a rooted, vested in, and I am a Tiger, I've become a Tiger fan. And it's funny, if you just started listening to the show or watching us a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, well, probably 2 years ago, you would think that I'm a Tiger apologist. I was burying Tiger Woods for years, burying him. But I like the redemptive story, especially you want to call me a sucker for buying it. I'm naive. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
But I don't think you're buying it.
I believe in the power of the human spirit.
I think it's real.
No, but I hear you. But a lot of people think Tiger's putting on an act, I don't believe. Yeah. I think that
I told you about his caddy, Joe LaCava.
Did he get back to you?
No, he did not yet. I wrote him.
He's probably still partying.
Because I wrote him when I landed last night. It was late, like 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I was like, holy, you know what? Yeah. It's amazing. But Joe has told me Tiger used to be that way.
Uh-huh.
Before he worked for Tiger. He was not a good dude all the time. He's not that way anymore.
I see it, and I think that if people don't, if that's fine. If you don't like Tiger, again, I started the show. I'm not here to convince you, but I would challenge you as we get ready for the update here with Ack. I would challenge you. You know, if you can at least acknowledge that somebody is seemingly, and I believe it, and so does my partner, really completely changed their life, the way they treat people, the way they interact with people, the way they live. If you can't buy that, then I kind of feel sorry for you. I kind of do.
Yeah, people evolve.
You're going to have a bad day, and you're going to want some people to believe that you can change. And, you know, they might not be there to believe that for you. 855-212-4227. Inbounds, out of bounds, after Rack, Hoops top of the hour, more Tiger third hour, Axe update right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Howdy, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. A little respite from the Tiger stuff. And we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a moment here on the show. It is time to Ask the Pros, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So here's the drill. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros, and the best one, we'll get through it, myself and Teak and Yomas DeSalle, and we'll go from there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. About 15 minutes from now, Teak, we'll jump deep into the NBA stuff over the weekend. Either really good or really tough to watch. Who's watching the Pistons Bucks last night after the first seven or 8 minutes?
Blake's hurt. He's not playing. I mean,
what a gross series that is.
It is gross. Sweep.
Yeah. They're not even going to mess around the gentleman's suite. We're just going to broom you to get you out of everybody else's NBA purview. Nobody else wants to watch you Pistons.
Agreed.
So we will get you 4 rather than 5. Right, inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, today's the day. Russell Wilson said he wanted his contract done with Seattle. So far, it's not done yet. Plus, over the weekend, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, or Matthew. I always say, how do you say his name? Everybody messes that up. But is it Matthew?
Yeah.
Like M-A-T-T-H-E-W?
I feel like it used to be something different.
I'm like churching it up like Yo Mas to sell, like Matthew. All right, the Honey Badger said on social media
it's
over the
dirt.
Weekend.
Don't church it up, son. It's dirt.
If you're watching this here on the tube, you get a chance to see the subtweets that the Honey Badger popped in. He says he wants New York, but you ain't heard that from me. That's what he says. Now, his tweet was in response to what Pro Football Talk put up there. Wondering just how genuine Wilson's intentions were to remain in Seattle. So Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times, though, has reported that Russell Wilson's expected to report for team workouts today. No confirmation either way yet. We're on top of it when we get it. In or out, inbounds or out of bounds, Teak. Russell Wilson's using the contract deadline as a tactic to end up getting traded.
Dang, Russell Wilson. That's his Twitter handle, by the way. No, out of bounds. I don't think he's using this to get the to get traded. I think he's using this to get paid. Absolutely paid. $35 million is the going rate right now for a superstar quarterback,
yep.
Which Russell Wilson is. Here, however, is the problem. The Seattle Seahawks currently have about $10 million in cap space.
Oh, well, sorry. Got to cut some people.
By the way, they have to spend about $5 million of that $10 million to sign the rookies that they're about
yes.
to draft.
Yes.
So there's no money to sign Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. So,
no, you find the money. Your cut.
I don't know.
Russell,
dude.
Sign.
I don't think it's a ploy to get him out of Seattle and get traded. Mm-hmm. I think that's convenient, and it creates an interesting narrative for his people.
Okay.
Including Tyrann.
Possible.
Matthew.
Possible.
But I say out of bounds. I think he wants to stay in Seattle. It's just a matter of whether or not that's feasible right now. It's not. Currently, it's not feasible.
You have to make it feasible. Can't tell me it's not feasible.
How? You're gonna get rid of Bobby Wagner? You're going to get rid of Doug Baldwin?
I mean, are you going to win with Doug Baldwin? I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's carved out a really nice career.
I'm just telling you, BT.
I'm just telling you, there's maybe 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the entire NFL better than Russell Wilson.
You know what's going to happen.
What?
I won't do it. I won't spoil it.
All right. Well, I say out of bounds as well, but you got to admit here, Teak, there's a lot of smoke around this. Jack Del Rio said this recently.
It doesn't just pop up over and over again
for
no reason.
But a lot of it could be driven by his PR machine and media outlets, with their agenda. Listen, the funny thing is, sometimes you have to be overly creative to get what you want. But when you are among the best at what you do, you shouldn't have to be that underhanded to get it.
No.
It should be
unless you
a
got
free
personality
agent.
Issues like AB.
Correct. And some age at a receiver where attrition is not a good thing. And you're deemed replaceable by most. You're a franchise quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, who should have won a second, who has willed that team to competitive levels they have no business being in the last couple of years. Find the money.
Agreed.
Find
Look
it.
Look at that touchdown interception ratio.
He's unbelievable. He's a superstar. And he's a low maintenance superstar.
Five times as many touchdowns as interceptions.
35-7 if you're not watching this on TV. He's
are
great.
You in
He's great.
Or are you out?
All right, Teak, we've discussed at length. Former All-Star closer Craig Kimbrell remains unemployed. But over the weekend, it became a bit more puzzling as to why. Now, it surfaced over the weekend that Kimbrell's seeking to make about $15 million per season. That beard's gross. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That beard's nasty.
Isn't it like split in the middle, too? Isn't it like got a little bit of divot?
Yeah, a little.
It's like weird.
A little bit. A little indentation. They carve around the greens. Yeah, you got the rough, and then you got the green. All right, $15 million would make Kimbrell the fourth highest paid reliever in baseball, behind Kenley Jansen for the Dodgers, Wade Davis, and Mr. Chapman for our Yankees, who has not had many games to close this year because the Yankees are completely banged up and not playing great baseball. Kimbrell, also younger than all of them. In or out, major league teams know something that we don't know about Kimbrell, and that's why he remains unsigned.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BD. I think there's two things in play, and you know this as well as I do. Going back 2 years ago, Major League Baseball squads are terrified of dead money. that is paying for past performance. I'm going to give a guy who's over 30 a long-term deal. He's going to stop being effective over first 2 years of that 5 or 6 year deal. Mm-hmm. And then we got to get rid of him, and we got dead money sitting in our books. And also, they're afraid of the luxury tax, and nobody wants to go above it. And when you go look at some of the teams that make sense for Craig Kimbrell, there's not a ton of them that have space.
Yeah.
Phillies, Padres, really, is about it.
No, but those are two teams that could use them.
I know. So, I mean, I, if you're going to make a prediction, Phillies or Padres, one of those teams will sign this guy.
Yeah, and Dallas Keuchel's still out there, but at least specific to Kimbrell here. I mean, out of bounds. If we were to say anything, if we say inbounds, we'd be signing something that we can't prove.
Agreed.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know what the logic or what's illogical, apparently, by some teams here, most teams. Listen, what I do know is that there was a 4-year stint where he led the league in saves, like 46, 42, mm-hmm. 50, 47. Look on baseballreference.com. A lot of bolds and italics for Mr. Craig Kimbrell. He's not old. He's got a sub-2 ERA, and he doesn't put guys... I mean, you know, if he puts guys on base, he gets out of it, and his whip is below one. And he's got a great energy. He's a champion. I don't know what the problem is with Craig Kimbrell, but he could be helping a team right now. And don't tell me, well, we'll just wait till we need him. You lose games in April and May because your bullpen is leaky. Mm-hmm. You cannot get those games back in October, in September and August. So every game kind of counts. So I'm stunned, but I say out of bounds. I agree with you on that, Teak.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Now, here we go. In a bit of a surprise move on Thursday, the Kings fired head coach Dave Yeager. Yeager's gone 98-148 in 3 years with the Kings. But this past year, he showed some improvement, 39-43. Obviously, the sending team, fun to watch, good mm-hmm. offensive players, nice roster, flirting with a postseason berth up until the last month of the season. And it seems as though the Kings may have listened to the show on Friday. I think Luke Walton, number one of his buddies, was Vlade Divac, who just won that. I know you were out yesterday. Yep. I touched on this. Vlade won the battle of power, and it was in inbounds, out of bounds with Yeager, so he's gone. I don't know if Luke would do it, but I would be pretty sure that... even if it's just a cursory conversation, that it's already occurred between the Kings and some of Walton's representation. It would not surprise me at all. Prescient. Look it up. All right, Teak, you ready? That's exactly what happened. Now, Luke Walton got his contract, got a gig again. Yeager's out. Do we believe that the Kings upgraded their bench? Or we do believe, I have to make a statement. Well, their bench in terms of that coach.
Yeah.
Inbounds or out of bounds? Upgraded.
I struggled with this one a little bit, BT.
It's a tricky one.
It is. I said inbounds simply because a subtraction of the controversy, the nonsense that was going on between Vlade's assistant GM, Brandon Williams, and Dave Yeager. They were both fired because they were fighting about how to use Marvin Bagley III, their rookie. And so this nonsense started leaking into the locker room. Now, Dave Yeager may be a great coach, and you know, it could have been on the right path. But when you start affecting your kids to the point where Vlade, who just signed a 4-year extension, has to go ask these kids, and I'm not talking about like kids and facetiously because they're younger than me. Mm-hmm. These kids are like 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. You're asking them your opinion about their coach, and then you're using
they're
that.
They're 3 years older than AJ.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Put it in that perspective.
3 years older than my oldest son. And this is how you're determining to fire this guy? I'm reluctantly saying inbounds simply because Luke Walton plays the kind of offense that they want to play. Buddy Hield's a great shooter. He can be that Klay Thompson type player. De'Aaron Fox, he's a great point guard, as we all know. So maybe, but I don't know, man.
It's a tough one, too. You know, I'm going to say inbounds. I'm going to throw something out there. Now, this is maybe unfair to Dave Yeager because he was never given this chance, and Luke Walton was. At least we know that Luke Walton, when he has real legitimate talent, he's going to win.
Good point.
Again, if Dave Yeager was coach of the Warriors a couple of years ago when Steve Kerr was recovering from back surgery, I'm quite sure that Yeager would have almost an unblemished record as well, especially back then.
You could have had an unblemished record with both
of us. We've always said that, and we actually kind of mean it. We don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not that hard of a job. I also think that there was some palpable, strong, but incremental growth on some of the young players before LeBron came.
Yeah.
They were trending in the right direction. I don't think Luke
especially Walton, defensively.
Yes, they were seventh in defensive rating. Right. I don't think he's great. I know he's competent. That's not to say that Dave Yeager's not, but it's a good question. It's a tough question, but I will say inbounds to that as well, Teak. I agree.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. Speaking of the NBA, we got to get it all. We got to, I mean, the Nets beating the Sixers, the Magic taking out the Raptors, the Spurs. Denver fans have to be terrified.
Yeah,
because all year they've tried to like thwart off.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
They're not for real.
Yep.
Okay.
First game, boom. They lose.
How about the Celtics and the Pacers shooting collectively like 34%?
That was a horrendous game. Lord. Pacers play hard, not good enough. NBA coming up next. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.